I want you to pray with me, and let's just ask for the Lord's blessing on this part of our service and on the word of the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your people, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in this place to open our eyes, to give us understanding. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that today, Lord, that each and every one would hear what the Spirit is saying to them, that your voice would be loud and clear in our hearts, Father, Lord, that we might forever be changed, that we might be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And I pray, Father, that you be glorified in it all, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, last week, our youth pastor shared a great message. It was so simple and practical, amen, that all of us can do it. And I say, all of us can do it. You see, that is so important, that we are doers of the word, not just hearers deceiving our own selves. In fact, James chapter 1 goes on to say in verse 25 that when we do it, then we are blessed. And I just want you to know that as we do what Jesus has called us to do, you are always going to be blessed. You're going to have great joy. You're going to find great victory in your life. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, when we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Jesus said that if he's lifted up, he will draw all men to him. And so I'm believing God for a great harvest next Sunday. And I want to ask you as a church to just be in agreement with me that we're going to see many, many changed lives. By the way, we still have these available in the church foyer, these little invite cards. And if you have a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, an enemy that you want to invite, it's a good idea. Hey, what an awesome thing when your enemy gets saved and turns their life over to Jesus. What could be better than that? Anyway, this has a map of the church, and the website lets them be able to see a little bit about the church, so you know they won't be totally freaked out when they come. Well, we scare some people, you know. But also, you know, we've had people that couldn't find the church before, so this is a great way to, when you invite somebody, to just say, hey, here's how you can find us, and tell them you'll be waiting for them at the door. Just saying. It's a good idea. All right, I'm going to preach now. I'm going to get on with it. But I want you to understand that this is what our Lord wants. This is why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we as a church are going to be in agreement praying for the harvest this week. And, you know, when you talk about harvest, when you think about harvest, I think about farmers. You know, for a farmer, it's all about the harvest. The harvest is what determines whether or not they're going to make a profit. I mean, all of that hard work and, you know, planting and preparation and all that they do, it doesn't mean a whole lot if there's no harvest. It all comes down to that harvest. You know, the harvest is what determines whether or not they're going to be able to buy any equipment or ever buy a new tractor. The harvest determines whether or not their kids are going to get to go to college. The harvest determines maybe even whether or not they're going to be able to keep the farm another year. It's about the harvest, I'm telling you. A farm can only go on so long without a good harvest, unless it's a hobby farm. A hobby farm doesn't really need a harvest. They're just farming for fun or for an ag exemption. They don't, you know, I mean, they would like to have a harvest, but it's just not that big a deal whether or not they have a harvest because it's a hobby. And you know what? There are a lot of hobby churches. They don't really care. It's not that big a deal. I mean, you know, they would like it if somebody decides to come, but it's not really that big a deal. We're just fine, just like we are. It's just, you know, we want to reach out to the lost as kind of a hobby. But we need to understand that it's supposed to be much more than that to us, because it certainly is much more than that to our Lord. And this is not a hobby church. By the way, the reason there's so many hobby churches is there's so many hobby Christians. Oh my. We got to decide if we are a hobby Christian or if we are really committed to his cause. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so if we're not going to be a hobby Christian, then we have to make a commitment to his cause, to deny ourselves and daily take up the cross and follow him. We are a missional church. He has given us a mission. Every single one of us is a part of it. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a missionary, but I'm telling you that we have all been called to tell others what God has done for us. Amen. To tell our story. Amen? Amen? All of us have been called to reach out to others and share the love of God with them. Share the gospel with them. Most of us, you know, in America, most everybody lives like they're on a mission every day. They're on a mission to get to work. They're on a mission to get to school, to get to the bank. They're on a mission to get the kids to the ball practice. They're on a mission. They have so many things to do. And somehow our Great Commission sometimes gets lost in the mix. And I tell you, we need to always keep first and foremost God's mission for our life. And I want to tell you that has everything to do with the harvest. So I want you to know we are a missional church. We don't talk about this enough, I don't think. And so I want to put it out there this morning. I want you to hear me say it very plainly that this is our vision, is that we fulfill the Great Commission, that we will do our part in that. We want to reach our generation by making disciples. That's who we are. Jesus gives us a Great Commission. One of those times is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. It is our mission. And I want to tell you, he is the one who gives the increase. See, we are co-laborers with him. We have a job to do. And I want to tell you, when we do our part, God always does his part. And isn't it an awesome thing to have God working with you, to be a co-laborer with the Lord? This is the kind of church we are. A missional church. This is not a spiritual club. We want to see people's lives changed. You know, when you get on a plane, the pilot will usually say something along this line, welcome aboard, flight 614. Please put your seat in the upright position and fasten your seat belt. We'll be departing momentarily. Now, the next thing he said, or he says, is very important. If he says something like, we don't know where we're going today, we're just going to take off and just let the Lord lead us, and wherever we, you know, he takes us, it'll be all good. Most people with the brain would be saying, I think I'm going to get off this plane, right? I mean, we don't want to be on a plane with a clueless pilot that doesn't know where he's going. We want to know that he knows where we're supposed to end up, and that's where he's taking us. I don't want to be a part of a clueless church either. I don't want to do life with clueless people. Listen, the Bible says a people without a vision perish. We need to have a vision and know where we're going. How can you ever reach the goal if you don't know what the goal is? And I'm telling you that our goal is to reach people. Our goal is to help people. Listen, our goal is to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and their lives forever be changed, that they would be discipled. Now listen, usually what happens on the plane is the next thing the pilot says is he says, "We'll be departing for San Diego, California. If that is not your destination, you are on the wrong plane and you need to depart." Well, I want to tell you, there are a lot of different kinds of churches. There are a lot of different visions. And I don't mean this morning to be putting any other church down, any church that preaches Jesus. I'm for them. But I'm just saying, we want to be clear about this, that we're about the Master's business. And the most important thing is Jesus, and that He loves people and He wants everybody to come into His kingdom. I really believe that, church. You know, there's these churches out there where they're just watching the sky. And you say, "What are you doing?" "I'm waiting for the rapture." Yeah. Listen, I love His appearing. I want Him to come. I'm ready for the Lord to come. But He said to work till He comes. He didn't say to stand around and watch the sky. He said nobody knows the day or the hour. Here's what we do know, is that we're supposed to be working for King Jesus. And we just keep working. I don't want to be one of those churches that's just standing around waiting. No, we've got a job to do. We're going to keep at it until He comes. Then there's the Bless Me Club churches. You ever been to one of those? Listen, it's all about the feels. You know, we want to go to church and we want to have some goosebumps so that, you know, maybe we can get enough to make it through, to struggle on to the next Sunday, and we can get, you know, "Bless me, Lord, so I can make it." I want to tell you something. It's wonderful when the Lord blesses you. But the Holy Spirit wasn't given to us just to give us goosebumps. He was given to us to empower us to be witnesses for the Lord. That's what Jesus said. He said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power. Listen, we need to remember what the power's for. It's for getting the job done. Then there's the doctrinal purity churches. You know, that sounds pretty good on the outset. False teaching is bad. False teaching messes people up. But I just want to remind you that the Pharisees thought that they were doctrinally pure. And there are a lot of Christians today that aren't the least bit interested in helping anybody. They just want to argue over the Scripture. And those people aren't right with God. I'm just telling you. Listen, no matter how theologically correct they may think they are, if they don't love people, they've missed the whole boat. The church, that's not who we are. I tell you, I'm going to preach the Bible. We're going to do the best we can to hold to the truth. But I just got to say it this morning. Listen, if we sing a song and every word of it doesn't line up just perfectly, I want to tell you something. The Lord is a whole lot more concerned with whether or not you were worshiping Him. And if you're standing back critiquing, you're probably not worshiping. I'm moving on. Listen. Then there's the "we don't do that" churches. Now, I want to tell you, I really believe that when you know Jesus, it changes your life and it changes the way that you live, and that the Holy Spirit makes us holy. But I want you to understand something. The "we don't do that" churches, it's all about "we don't do that, and we don't do that, and we don't do that." Listen, I want to tell you, the world, those hurting people, those lost people, they don't care whether or not you play with cards or dominoes. They don't care whether or not you wear shorts, and they don't care if you watch Harry Potter or not. What they care about is whether or not what you have can change their life. Listen, if they believe what you have can change your life, they want it. But too many churches focus on too many other things. Oh, church, we need to know who we are. And I'm telling you, who we are is a missional church. We want to reach people. It is about the harvest for us, because Jesus died for them all. And it's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Jesus tells us in John 4:35, and I want to say this very plainly. Jesus tells us, okay? Because when we read the Bible, we need to always remember these things were not written down for them. It was written down for us. And so Jesus tells us, don't say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Now listen, he says, they are white for harvest. Jesus says, the word of the Lord says that the harvest is ready. There are a lot of voices. I know where these voices come from, by the way. I hope you do. There are a lot of voices saying, oh, the harvest isn't ready. Maybe some other time. Jesus said, don't say some other time. Don't say still 4 months. He says, now the harvest is ready. And I want you to understand, the enemy is always working, trying to discourage Christians from reaching out to other people and sharing what they have. Now is the time. And listen, the harvest is plentiful. It's a good harvest. That's another lie that comes in many different ways. Oh, you know, this is just the harvest just isn't there. There's not many that need the Lord. Oh, my goodness. What a great harvest. The time that we're living in. You see all this turmoil? You see all these messed up lives, people that don't have a clue about what to do? We have an answer. What a great harvest this is. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Now, he's speaking figuratively to the disciples. He's not talking about a wheat field. He's talking about people. And he's not talking about just, you know, raising your eyes physically. He's talking about your focus and your attention. He's saying to us today to get your attention on the harvest. Amen. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. It's ready. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, and I want to just stop right there for a minute. You see, he saw the multitudes. It's very specific that it tells us this. He saw the multitudes. Do we really see the people that pass by us every day? I think especially in a metropolitan area like we live in DFW, it is easy for us to get to the place where we just pass by so many people without ever really seeing them. We don't ever even notice them. You know, sometimes we say, how are you? But we don't really want to know. You know what I'm saying? And we just kind of pass by people. Most of the time, we don't even do that. In fact, I noticed such a difference when I moved back to DFW after living in a very small town, how so often people don't speak. They don't even look at one another as they pass by. But Jesus saw the multitudes. If we just pass through this world and don't even take time to see what's going on with people, to see the needs in their life, I'm telling you that we won't reach this harvest. We won't do what we're supposed to do. No, we've got to see the multitude just like Jesus did. We've got to see the need in their life. And then it says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion for them. When we see the people around us who don't know the Lord, who aren't really walking with God, oh, we need to be moved with compassion. You see those people whose lives are messed up? See, you see a single mom that can't make ends meet? There is this judgmental, critical, mean spirit that so many Christians have bought into, where they judge that person and condemn them and say, well, they made stupid decisions. They just got what they deserve. Jesus was moved with compassion for those people who were clueless, those people who were lost like sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion for them. And I'm telling you, we need to see the multitude the way Jesus did and be moved with compassion. Amen. See, the one that's sick and not getting any better, when we see the one that's turned away from God for some reason, when we see the family with a teenager that's headed the wrong direction, when we see a couple whose marriage is just about over, listen, when we see someone who's just been through a divorce, we need to be moved with compassion for that person. Not be judgmental, but instead show compassion to them. That's the way Jesus was. Be moved with compassion to be kind to those that don't deserve it. One like me. What grace God has shown to me. How can we become so pharisaical that we judge and condemn others when God has been so gracious to us? We need to always show compassion to those who are in need, to share Jesus with them, not just look the other way and ignore them or pass judgment on them, but instead, like Jesus, to be moved with compassion. If we really want to reach people with the gospel, I want to tell you, we shouldn't concern ourselves with looking religious. Instead, we should concern ourselves with being kind and compassionate to people. When someone's doing wrong, when someone's being stupid, when someone's life is a mess, when it seems like they just don't have a clue and our normal reaction might be to criticize or be annoyed, I'm telling you, that is the very time. It is a great opportunity for us to show compassion. You just don't know what somebody else is going through. And I have to tell you, I have learned this lesson twice the hard way. Because when your loved one is diagnosed with cancer, it changes everything. Yes, it does. You know, it just changes the way you look at life and the way you feel and the battles you're fighting personally and what you go through. And I just got to tell you, there's a whole lot of people fighting that battle. Yes. And there's a whole lot of people fighting other battles that maybe you haven't been through. And you just have no idea what they're dealing with. But what they need is compassion and Jesus. That's what they need. And so, church, I just want to tell you, when we see other people, we look at the multitude, we need to be like Jesus and be moved with compassion. And I say to you that He wasn't just stirred, but He was moved with compassion for the people. One of the things that Jesus says here is He says that they are like sheep having no shepherd. Listen to me. There's a whole lot of people just wandering through life aimlessly. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to raise their kids. There's so many voices coming at them from a thousand different directions, telling them this and telling them that. They don't know. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And I want to say very plainly, yes, they need the great shepherd. Yes. But they also need a pastor. It's one of the problems in the church culture of the day is that the attitude is there that, oh, people don't need a pastor except to marry them and bury them. No, they need a pastor for all the life in between. To know how to really live for God, to fulfill the call and the purpose, the destiny of God in their life, and to live in all that God has for them. See, there's a lot of people out there who believe in Jesus, and yet they're like sheep without a shepherd. I'm telling you, they need a pastor. And let me tell you what else they need. They need the church. They need a body of believers. They need brothers and sisters in Christ who will help them along the way, help disciple them, but help them know how to live and pray for them and encourage them and be with them through the battles. They need that. Oh, don't miss this. That harvest that we're bringing in, we don't want them to just pray a prayer. We want them to live an abundant life and all that God has for them. Amen. And so bring them to church. Get them in church. It's important that they're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church where they can become disciples of Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples in verse 37, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus tells us that there is a great harvest. How can we reach them? Listen, the answer is simple, but before we talk about that, I want us to, first of all, understand the problem. The problem is not the lack of a harvest. The problem is not that there's not very many people that would come to the Lord. The problem is that there are so few workers. That's what Jesus said. So what are we going to do about this problem? There's so few workers. Well, the answer is the same answer that we find for so many of the problems in life. We pray. Jesus said, here's the answer. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest, into the field. That's the answer, is that we pray. How often that's the answer, amen? Listen, nothing we accomplish on our own is going to make a difference in eternity. We are co-laborers with Him. We can't do it without Him. And so we always pray. That's the key. That's the answer. How are we going to get workers to go? Well, the pastor is going to browbeat them and guilt them into it. No, listen, that's fruitless and it doesn't work. And what's more, we don't like it. Amen? But when we pray, God does something in our heart. And I want to tell you something. We can't do it without Him, so we always pray. Pray that the Lord send workers into the field. Now, that's the way Jesus said to pray about the harvest. I think that we certainly can pray that people's hearts be prepared. We certainly should, and we certainly should pray that our efforts will be effective. And there's certainly other ways we can pray about that. But I think this needs to be the focus of our prayer about the harvest, because Jesus tells us to pray this way. He doesn't just say, pray the Lord of the harvest will bring them in. Lord, bring them in. Lord, bring them in. No, He says, pray the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the field. See, we don't pray and ask God to do our job. The Lord is probably not going to invite your neighbor to come to church. Lord, just bring them in. No. Lord, send workers. Send someone to my family member that's lost. Lord, send someone to my neighbor. Send someone to that person at work that needs you so bad. Send laborers into the field. That's how we pray. Why didn't Jesus just bring them all in? Why didn't He just do that now? Why didn't He just do it on His... Listen, He wants us to be a part of the work of His kingdom. He wants us to know the joy of harvest. Oh, what joy there is when you see lives changed, when you see people born into the kingdom. You know what? In a family, we have a lot of this happening in the church right now. When a baby comes, when a new baby arrives, oh, what joy. I mean, everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, whatever problems there are, when you're holding that newborn baby, oh, there's lots of joy. You know what? It's the same way in the kingdom. When somebody comes to the Lord, it's that way in heaven. The Bible tells us that there's rejoicing around the throne of God when one person turns to Him in repentance. I just got to tell you, He wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to know the joy of harvest. And when you've been praying and believing God, and then there's a harvest, what joy there is. He wants us to know that. And why didn't Jesus? You know, Jesus is the most effective person in history for praying. I believe that. What Jesus prays is going to happen. Why didn't He just pray that everybody would go? Why didn't He just pray that all the laborers would go? Because He tells the disciples, listen, He wants them to pray. He wants you and me to pray, because when you pray, something happens on the inside of you. Prayer changes things. And I'm telling you, the first and foremost thing that prayer will change is you. See, a lot of people, when they pray, they're just praying that God will change everything and everybody else. Lord, change my spouse. You know they're the problem. Amen. Listen, but when you pray sincerely for the will of God, I'm telling you, so often God will start in your heart. And I believe that's part of what He's talking about here, because He talks in Matthew chapter 9, He's talking about how the harvest is great, and He says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. And then in the very next chapter, He sends those same people into the field. But they needed to pray. Something needed to happen in their own heart. Do you think that they were having to convince God to send laborers? I'm telling you, they were praying according to the will of God. In fact, when we pray for the harvest, we're praying His kingdom come, because when the King comes and rules and reigns in people's lives, that's the kingdom coming. And when we pray and people come to the Lord, when people turn to the Lord, that's His will. That's the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven, because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that everybody should turn to Him. That's His will. And so we pray that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the field. Pray for workers. Pray that they... How are you going to pray for those workers? Well, pray that they will see the harvest. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. Jesus saw the multitude. Pray that they will see the harvest around them. So many people that need the Lord. Pray that they will be moved with compassion, that they won't be judgmental, they won't be critical, they won't just be a religious Pharisee to those people, but they will reach out to those people with the love of God. Pray that those workers are going to have the right heart and motivation. And pray the Lord of the harvest will speak to their heart and give them the motivation, the will that they would choose to go. Pray the Lord of the harvest would truly speak to their heart, and they'll have that willingness to go. Pray for them. Pray for workers. This week, we're believing for a great harvest. Listen to me. Let's commit every day to pray that workers will go into His field. We're not just going to pray, God, bring them in somehow. We're going to pray that workers will go into His field, and we are going to see a great harvest. Don't be surprised if while you're praying, God lays it on your heart to be the answer to that prayer. Because it's just a little bit insincere if we're praying, Lord, send someone else. Lord, we need workers in the field. Send someone else. No, I'm telling you, if you pray sincerely, the Lord will put people on your heart. The Lord will direct your path to somebody. He'll give you the right words to say to somebody. But I challenge you today, not that you would go. That's not my challenge this morning. My challenge from the word for you today is that you will pray, Lord, send laborers into your field. Pray for those laborers. Those very disciples went to the field. Praying will open your eyes to see the needs of the lost. Praying will cause you to have compassion. Even for people that you don't like, you just pray for them enough, and it's amazing how God can give you a love for them, how God can give you a burden for them, and you care about them. Pray, and it will bring you a motivation. It will give you a will to do what God wants you to do, to answer that call as He gives you the opportunity. In Matthew chapter 10, when the disciples go out, Jesus tells them, He says, not everybody is going to receive you. So let's settle that right now. Not everybody is going to receive you. But some will. And their lives will forever be changed. See, not everybody's going to receive you, but go tell them anyway. Invite them to come anyway. Well, what if we're willing to go, but we just don't feel like we have anything to offer, like we can get the job done? Well, I want to tell you that Jesus is not looking for extraordinary, special people. A bunch of His disciples were fishermen. One of them was a tax collector. That was considered to be the lowest of the low. He's looking for ordinary people that will trust an extraordinary God. Just ordinary people, that's who God uses. He gets the glory that way. It is not about some personality. It is about the Spirit of God working in our life, that He uses us and He gets the glory that way. So I encourage you, listen, if you think, well, what do I have to offer? I couldn't do anything. You are absolutely right apart from Him. For surely Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you love Him and you're praying, you abide in Him, I'm telling you, you're not apart from Him. And He says, you shall bear much fruit. Why? Because He's the one that empowers. He's the one that gives the increase. And so, let me just close with this. When we pray for workers, first of all, here's why you do it. You're obeying Jesus. Jesus said, pray for workers. So when you do that, you're doing what Jesus said to do. That's always a good thing. Amen. I want to obey the Lord. I want to do. If Jesus says, pray for workers, then I'm going to pray for workers. Second, when we pray, our hearts are changed. Third, when we pray, He empowers us. See, we don't ever go alone. We don't do it on our own. No, listen, there's no limit to what God can do through somebody who prays and is willing. I tell you, there's a harvest coming. Let's pray for workers to go into the field. Stand with me, and we're going to pray right now as our prayer partners come. Father, I thank You that You are still moving and working in the earth today. And I pray, Father, Lord, together with my brothers and sisters this morning, I pray, Father, that You would send workers into the field. Lord, that You would give us that heart of compassion. Help us to see those around us that need You. Help us to see those around us that are struggling, those that are so lost, that don't know which way to go. And Father, I pray that you would use us and give us the words. Lord, that in some way we would get to be a part of what you're doing. And I thank you for it. So, Father, I say one more time, send workers, Father. I'm asking you to send workers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, before we close our service, I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. As I realize that this morning, even though I'm talking about reaching out to the lost and how we need to pray for workers, I realize that there may be somebody here this morning that you don't really have that close relationship with Jesus. Maybe you believe in Him, but you haven't really turned your life over to Him. You haven't really made Him your Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you this morning that He loves you. You are the very reason that He came and died on a cross and rose again. He loves you. And He wants the very best for you. He says, I came to give them life, an abundant life. And I want to tell you, you'll never be sorry if you turn your life over to Jesus. So in a few minutes when we have prayer at the front, if that's you, you just come and find a prayer partner. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you here this morning, you're trying to make it on your own, struggling on your own. I'm telling you, Jesus is here and He wants to help you. Some of you here this morning have just been distracted by all the busyness of life. You've been on that mission, but not His mission. And it's time for you to refocus and accept the call of God to fulfill His purpose in your life. Oh, life is more than just the American way. You grow up, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, you get older, someday you retire. Listen, life is much more than that. God has a call and a purpose for your life. And if you want to accept that call and purpose this morning, I encourage you to come. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you, you know, you're saying in your heart, I want to be used this week. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, you come. But whatever prayer requests you may have come to the service with this morning, you're welcome to come. We'd love to pray with you. And so, listen, let's just take a few minutes here in the presence of God, and let's just pray. And make this the focus of your prayer. If you're not praying about something else, pray for workers. Pray for workers. Let's worship. Let's just pray for a few minutes. And if you have a prayer need, you go ahead and step out and come. Let us pray with you.